y'all here? Are we all a bus? That's what we used to always say in youth group. Y'all, are we all a bus? Everybody on here? All right. Okay. All right. Here we go. A couple more. Oh, hey. How are you? Okay, let's pray before we start this session. Father God, we just bow before you now, and we thank you so much for our time together. Lord, and right now I just pray for each woman represented in this room. And God, we just thank you for what the sacrifice that it took for them to be here today, Lord, just with schedules and with other things that are going on in each of their lives, Lord, just the time that they've carved out, God, I pray that you would just bless that and multiply their time for them, God. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would be with Clay, Father, as he speaks to the men in the chapel. And I just pray for each husband and man that's represented over in that room, Father. And God, that you would just speak your truth and your life into their lives, God. I pray that you would let each man know the amazing calling that you have placed on their lives to be the spiritual leader in their home. And God, that you would help him feel equipped to embrace that, Lord, and to keep carrying that well. And God, I just pray that you would just strengthen those men, God. This world is such a rough place, God, and can just beat us all down. So God, I just pray that you would just strengthen those men right now and just encourage them, God. So just anoint Clay with your words and your power and do your thing in the lives of those men today. And God, I pray that for the women in here as well, God, that they would leave encouraged, refreshed, and strengthened, God, to continue this journey, this walk with you, knowing that they have met with you and can continue on with you on this path. And thank you so much for our time. And we just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Clay asked last night, did I have a cutesy title for my session with you all? And I didn't, because I changed my mind on like what I want to speak. Like, I have different things that I want to share, and I just kind of leave it open to God, like until like I just am like, okay, God, you just direct and let me know where I need to go with this and what these women need to hear. And I just try to stay open. And he keeps bringing me back to this reoccurring theme. And I don't know about y'all, but it seems like I have just gotten beaten over the head with this theme the last year. So maybe it's like when you get beat so much with something, maybe it's God's trying to tell you something. Y'all get it? but it's joy. Have y'all, any of y'all done the joy Bible study? Margaret Feinberg, have y'all done that one? I think it's called Choose Joy, maybe. What was the name of that one? She's a cancer survivor. It's amazing. Sorry, Margaret something. Anyways, it's a joy Bible study. We did that one in August. And then right on the heels of that, I led a Bible study, Choosing Gratitude. Nancy Lita Moss, have y'all done that one? If y'all haven't done that, you don't even have to do a Bible study with it. Just get the book, Choosing Gratitude. Y'all, that book is amazing for speaking truth and life into your life about being a more grateful person. So it just seems like this theme has been running through my year. And for me, I think one of the main things that hinders me in my walk with God and in my walk in my home is my joy, or the lack thereof. So, having a holy home building strong families. That's what we're here for, right? We know we need to strengthen our families. We know we're wanting to build strong families. And so what is it that's standing in the way of that happening? So how can I meet the task, meet the challenges, meet the day to day with more joy in my life? And so I think that's where I want to share with you all today. And I want to leave a little room on the other side of this too for just some, like, a little short Q&A time, just anything that you've heard from our testimony last night, or just about, you know, just about the Word of God or prayer life or anything like that, just suggestions or anything that you might have questions about that we do. I can be open to that, and we can do that. But I just want to share this with you all. When Clay and I went through what we did in 1998, I found myself, let's see, 98. So I was 28 and had always grown up in church. But y'all, I didn't know how to study my Bible. I really didn't know the first thing about it. Like, I could read and, like, okay, yeah, here's this. But how do I study God's Word? And so I went to, we have Lifeway Christian bookstores where we're from. So that's where I went. And I walked in, and this sweet, sweet senior lady was standing there. And I said, ma'am, I want to know if you got a book that would teach me how to study my Bible. And y'all, she brought out, I wish I could have like an illustration here, but she brought out Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Have y'all ever seen that bad boy? It's the size of the Lord's Supper table here. I don't like having my cup on that either. It's the size of the Lord's Supper table. And I'm just like, oh, no, no, that's a preacher's book. I can't take that home. And she said, oh, no, honey. And y'all, it's not that big, but it is like, it looks like the family Bible that we used to have on the coffee table. Y'all remember those? I used to love looking through those and the pictures and Jonah and the whale. That was good. So I was like, oh, and she said, no, 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 honey. It's good. It's good. Look, you've got all of these references, and say if you're needing to forgive somebody, it was just like she knew what I needed because I was needing to forgive my husband, you know? So she said, look at all this passage of scripture here that talks about forgiveness, and you can look this up and see what God's Word has to say. And she suggested a MacArthur Study Bible to go along with that. And so I kicked Savannah out of the baby stroller and put the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and my John MacArthur Study Bible in that stroller and got that to the car. And that kind of began my journey of when things would arise in my life, I would go to that. Now you can do that on your computer. But I still love my book. Y'all, I still on my desk in my office. I love that book. And they even have it in red letter now. I bought the red letter one. So it's got so you can see the ones that with Jesus, that's Jesus speaking there. And I used to buy them and give them away as gifts too. I don't know what people thought like when they got one. But anyways, so joy. Joy. So I thought, I'm going to look up joy. And I found like over 150 references. And I thought, whoa, I got a lot of work to do because I gotta look up all these scriptures and see what God's Word says about joy. Joy. Regardless of my situation, God's calling me to be faithful in the midst of any trial, in the midst of anything that's going on in my life. He's calling us to be faithful, right? So Psalms 94, 18 and 19 says this. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. And when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. His consolation brought joy to my soul. We've got to be turning to Him. Again, it's all about the Word of God. Now, somebody, may leave here today and then you go home and say, I went to a marriage conference this weekend, and they say, oh, what'd you learn there? And you're going to say, they told us we need to, commit our home to the Lord and read our Bible and pray. And they're going to be like, Did you go to a marriage conference or did you go to the church? Like, what happened? Like, you know, what? Is that like marriage advice? Y'all, yes. It's life advice. Because we could come in here and we could tell you one little thing to fix a problem in your life. But if we don't get to the core to get this right, you're going to end up in the same situation again. So that's why we've got to have this foundation right. So turning to the Word of God for these things. Y'all know the expression, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Y'all know it, right? That's true. It's so true. And for us, you know, we kind of make the joke about it, you know, that Garrett has been our, my mother calls him our heavenly sandpaper. Bless her heart. She's so sweet. And I say other words sometimes, but he has been a challenge, y'all. But I tell you what, the first year that we brought him home, we were overwhelmed. When we got to the airport after we had traveled to China and brought him back, as we saw our family, we had been in China with him for 2 weeks. And y'all, we already knew. We're like, whoa, what has God called us to? And so as we saw our family, we just start crying and weeping. And they just thought we were glad to be home. But we were like, we weren't telling them yet. We were like, oh, we don't know what we're doing, but here we are. But even in that first year, as we met with counselors and things, we had people that suggested that maybe it wasn't going to be the best thing for our family. Outsiders. Therapist. But you know what? We had an insider, God Almighty, that said, I called you to it. And I'm going to see you through it. But you know what? This is what I've found, y'all. He don't promise that it's going to be easy. So we just got to hang on through the hard, through the difficult. But we are responsible for our response, okay? We are responsible for our response and how we're the atmosphere of our home. So much of it depends on us, right? As I began looking at those scriptures, the 150 of them, I would be... I love the little post-it notes. I like to get them in all the fun colors and stuff and write some scriptures down and put those like on my mirror or in the car. And y'all, I need them for car line at school. Y'all know I'm talking about car line? Y'all, moms are vicious in car line. They'll about run over you to pick up their children. And you're like, ain't nobody going anywhere fast, so y'all slow down. You know, it's just like, but I'm like... Y'all, I want to hurt some people sometimes in car line, so I have to put scripture about joy in my car just like to keep that focus, Renee, keep that focus, don't get out and hurt anybody. So I've got these scriptures around me, but I'll tell you this too, what I've found on my journey is when I'm engaged, when I'm like, this is where I need to be, Lord, teach me this, help me with this, it also sends out that little... It's like the ticker tape goes in the sky with it or something, and our enemy sees it too. So he says, so you think you're gonna have some joy. Let's see what I can do to get in there and mess that up for you. Do y'all ever feel that way? It's just like he's just standing right beside. With this armor of God study we're doing, our class that meets, it's like everybody's like, can we get our money back on this? Because we under attack. Seriously, it's like when you say, I'm standing with the armor of God, it's just like the enemy. I'm not going to preach on that right now. I'm going to teach on that. But y'all know what I'm saying. It's like the enemy comes at us. So I'm talking to my family and I'm saying, y'all, here's something I think we have to do too. We have to say, communicate to our families if we know we're in the wrong. Y'all, I know mama's been walking around looking like she needs Botox. Y'all know what I'm saying? You get that line right there because you're walking around frowning all the time. and mad. You look mad all the time in your house. And so I'm telling my kids, like, y'all, I get it. God is saying, you need some more joy in your life. If we had like a gas, you know, your gas tank that has a little light, come on, my light's on. I need some more joy in my tank. And so I'm telling my kids about this. I'm telling Clay, I'm sorry. He's like, yeah, everybody's walking around on eggshells around you. I'm sorry. I'm trying. I'm seeking the Lord on this. Y'all pray for me. Pray for Mama, okay? So I make that announcement. And about next week, I'm cooking dinner. And we have like an island cooktop, you know, where your stove's like, you know, the cooktop's in the middle built in there. And I had a big pot of, it's the Olive Garden's recipe, Zuppa Toscana. It's just a fancy way of saying potato soup, ain't it? It's like Italian, but it's got Italian sausage and potatoes in it. But y'all, when you cook for six people, you got chopped potatoes for about 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a big, I cook. And so it's like, I make a lot because I'm like, this is dinner and lunch tomorrow and dinner after church Wednesday night, you know, so it's like, it's leftovers too. And so I'm cooking and slicing and it's smelling good. And that big pot of soup sitting up on top of that, kids are at the table doing homework, doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's like, you know, a Hallmark movie going on right there, you know, and, Clay and Savannah decide that they're going to play ball with our dog, Moses. And so they decide they've got the ball and they're going to bounce the ball. And for whatever reason, they decide to bring that into the kitchen. And here's my cooktop island. And they decide we're going to bounce the ball from this side of the cooktop to that side so the dog's continually running around and can't figure out which side the ball is going to land on or whatever. Great idea, right? So I'm over at the oven getting the garlic bread out. And y'all, and I didn't just sprinkle on, you know, the Walmart brand garlic salt. I like rubbed it with the garlic, you know, like real garlic. I had put some work for my family. So I'm over here getting the garlic bread out. And I turn just in time to see that ball go up, and it was like slow motion, and here goes the ball down into my big pot of Zuppa Toscana. And just as that ball is hitting that big pot of soup that I worked all afternoon on, I see my children running, like diving out, you know, going under the couch, behind the ficus tree, behind the curtains. Everybody's ducking for cover because they know what? Mama's about to blow, right? Clay's grabbing dish towels and sopping up and we're sorry. And y'all, it was like God said, do you see what you've done? And y'all, I couldn't believe that it was like my family was that afraid of my reaction. And I just stood there. And I collected myself and I took a deep breath and I said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I said it about five times, and I opened my eyes, and I could see little eyes peeking out from behind stuff, and Clay looking up like, I think it's okay, y'all. I think it's all right. And then once they figured out they didn't need to commit me somewhere, you know, put me somewhere, I said, it doesn't make it right what y'all just did. But it was kind of funny. And then everybody started to laugh. And we all laughed. And you could feel the air come back into the room. And the whole atmosphere of the room changed, and everybody came back into the room. And it was just like God was saying, isn't this much better? And y'all, there have been times where I have gotten so mad and screamed and stomped, and my kids even have a walk named after me. It's called the Swishy Tail Walk, where you're just shaking everything to get out of there, and you're mad. It's just swishing everywhere. You're so mad. I could have gone in my bedroom, slammed the door, made me a bubble bath, and nobody would have messed with Mama the rest of the night. Y'all know it? No, ain't nobody else in here ever done that, right? Ain't nobody else shut down a night except me, right? I have shut down some nights. But y'all, I wouldn't have traded that moment for anything. I know what y'all are thinking. Did we eat the soup? You better believe they ate it. Clay turned that, boiled it back up. He said, dog's mouth's cleaner than a human. So we're going to boil the germs. It's just all going away. It was the best soup we ever had, Mama. That's good. That's real good. They weren't going to put Mama to the test twice. You know, it was like, it's good. This is real good. Women are the thermostats of the home. Women are the thermostats of the home, and we need to keep the emotional setting on joy. Really, God? That's what you want? That's a huge task, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Proverbs 17:22 says, a happy heart is like good medicine, but a broken spirit drains your strength. Y'all know that's true. When you're walking around with that broken, you just feel drained. You feel drained. And that's why, like, I suggested that book, Choosing Gratitude. And y'all, even through it, during that time, I saw an advertisement for... they're called the Giving Keys. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of that. It's a ministry out in LA, and they actually employ homeless. They bring in homeless people for employ, and they build homes and things like that. But they have these old discarded keys, and you can have whatever inscribed on it, whatever you want inscribed on it. They have some that are already pre-printed, you know, blessed and faith and love and whatever. But on mine, I asked Clay for Christmas if I could have one that says grateful. Grateful. To choose to be grateful. To choose to be grateful for the challenges. To choose to be grateful for the things that God is putting in my life that refines me. For that fire. Like I talked about last night from that Ann Voskamp quote, just the power in that. Joy enables us to enjoy all that God has given us. Yes, there are seasons where we have good health, but even through that, we are to choose joy when we don't have good health. For us, walking through this with my dad, you talk about like just feeling like you got the wind knocked out of you getting that phone call. Just somebody that you think is the picture of perfect health, and then just like, oh, what? And I can remember reading a passage of scripture that just talked about, and it was the Message version of it, but it was from Psalms, and it was saying, when I felt like I couldn't catch my breath, Lord, your love sustained me. And I was thinking, wow, I needed to hear that today, God, because even through this, when I feel like, oh, I got the wind knocked out of me, it's still his love. Even through my dad's illness, and he's doing very well. They think they got all of the cancer. He's doing chemo and the lymph nodes. Everything's looking great. But through that, we've had the opportunity to be with family members that we haven't been with in years. It's brought us back together. We've been able to share about what God's done in our lives, hear from them about their families. share with medical staff about our God. There's power in that. The surgeon that did the surgery for my dad have no idea where he stands, who he believes in, whatever. But I'm telling you what, that man bowed in prayer with us that day. We were like, whoa, no, come on. We praying over this, you know, and we're praying over you. And we laid hands on that surgeon to pray over him. And not with a spirit of heaviness, but with a spirit of joy. Being so thankful and being so grateful for everything that God has given us. And this is something that I think was such a great suggestion through the Bible studies that I did this last fall, those two, and especially the Choosing Gratitude. She suggested a joy journal or a gratitude journal. And y'all, it ain't got to be nothing fancy. I went to the Dollar Tree and bought the little, you know, little bitty notebook, and just to write in about each day, writing 5 things you're grateful for. It could just be that I woke up. It could be that I had a good hair day. Come on, women. Y'all know it matters to us. It could be that your kid didn't talk back to you that day. Grateful. Whatever it is, it could be the beautiful sunrise you saw on the way to work. Whatever it is, writing those things down. And I'm telling you, when you do take time to pause and say things you're grateful for, God starts changing your heart, and he starts changing your attitude towards things. And when you start choosing to be grateful and choosing joy, it doesn't change the situation, but it changes your attitude. Okay? And that's the blessing right there. That's the blessing for me. Practical ways of seeking joy. Meditate on God's word. Psalms 19:8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." Why would God put that in his word if it wasn't true? You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were saying they had a real hard time reading the Bible. I'm just so busy and da da da, and I can't get into it. And you know, and for me, you know, I said, well, I'd like to sit down with you sometime and talk to you. And this was just a real quick conversation I had with this person. And because I want to know more about their heart, like, do they have a relationship with the Lord? Is that, you know, a good relationship? But what I challenged that person was this. Don't look at it like this. I got to read through the whole Bible this year, okay? Just read a psalm a day. Read a Proverbs a day, you know? I heard Tim Tebow give his testimony one time where he said his mother read him a proverb every morning while he was sitting eating breakfast, I think. Like one proverb, just one verse that his mama gave him every day. And I just said, just one verse. That's all. You got time for that, right? I said, you could put it on your phone, and it could just, while you're getting ready, brushing your teeth in the morning, it'll audio play it. You don't even have to read it. Y'all know that? Those apps, they'll even read it out loud to you. So no excuse why we can't be in God's word. So, but meditate on God's word. Number two on that list, I had 3 little things there on that. So meditate. Pray and ask for his joy. To pray and ask for his joy. Lord, give me your joy in this situation, in this trial that I'm going through, in this valley that I'm in. Years and years ago, Clay, back in his busy travel days, he was on the same record label with Rich Mullins. I don't know if any of y'all remember that Rich Mullins. That dude was a unique dude. I mean, he was just really cool. really unique, just almost just like a prophet man to talk to him. He just loved the Lord and did a lot of work with Native Americans out west, and just would just give it all away, just give all of his possessions away, just serving the Lord. And I remember one time we were at this industry function, and Rich didn't really like those because they're kind of frou-frou, you know. And here Rich was, and I think he even went shoeless a lot. I don't know. Seems like I remember him barefoot a lot. But there was a man and his wife there, and they were somehow connected to the record label, worked somewhere in that company, and they had lost twin children in a car accident. Tragic, you know. And this was the first time that we were seeing them back since that loss, and it had been a few months, but still fresh, you know. I mean, I don't know what parent, it could be 20 years later, and it's still, I'm sure, I can't even imagine the pain with that. But as we were all visiting with them and trying to encourage them and love on them, Rich came up, and Rich started talking, and Rich said this. He said, "Wow, God must love y'all a lot." And we were all wanting to like tackle Rich and like shove him out of the room. Like, why did you say that to these people that lost their babies? You know, we're wanting to hurt him for saying that. But then Rich went on and he said, "He really must love y'all a lot to trust y'all to walk through that, because he knew that you all would handle it and that you would point others to him through it." And we all just kind of stood there silent at that point, because I had never heard anybody say anything like that before, to shine a light on something like that before, to look at it in that light of thinking, what if we looked at the things in our lives that were the difficult things, and instead of looking at it in the light of, why did God do that to me, thinking, wow, he must really love me a lot to trust me with this. That right there brings joy to my soul, to think that the God who created heaven and earth, all that's in it and under it, would trust me with the task of raising this little boy from China who's now taller than me, you know? Would trust me and Clay to pour Jesus into him. Someone who lived a godless life for 8 years and had no family connection, no touch, no love. And God said, "I trust y'all to be me to him." Huge. That's huge. So, again, we've got to ask God for his joy. Pray and ask for that joy in those things that you're walking through, in those trials that you're going through. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Remember singing that like a little girl in children's church. And my little third tip on that was to believe. Acts 2:28 says, "You have made known to me the paths of your life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence." In your presence. That's where it's at. So again, when I'm trying to do all of it in my own strength, I'm going to fail. When I turn to him, when I'm looking to him, he's going to fill me with his joy when I'm in his presence. So there's power in that. Again, I don't, last night when we shared about our testimony and we go through that very quickly, I don't ever want to gloss over or make light of the situation. What we went through was very hurtful to me. Like I said, we went through counseling with our pastor and outside counseling to help us with that accountability. Clay still has accountability in his life to this day. He says, any wise man should. And you know what I say to that too? I think every woman should have accountability. One friend that just says, hey, sweet, how is your prayer life? What's God speaking to you right now? You know, those questions that Chris Beatty, the vocal coach, asked, I think that we should do that all the time. Just like our car needs a tune-up, I need a tune-up, you know? And so it's important. What are we reading in God's Word? How is our prayer life? Where are we serving? You know, just because when I say the word serve, that doesn't mean sell everything you have and move to China or Africa or Russia and become a missionary, you know. There are people who do that. Praise God for those people. We have friends right now. Their children are moving to India to serve on the foreign mission field. But when I say serve, it might just be you see your neighbor out in the yard next week and you hadn't talked to that neighbor in 8 months. Or you may have never talked to that neighbor. Isn't that funny? How we could live on the same street with people, and now it's like, it's this game. You put your garage door up, and you get in the garage as quick as you can and shut that so you don't have to talk to anybody, you know? And it used to be like everybody kind of knew everybody in the neighborhood, but now it's different. So the challenge is get to know your neighbors. So that might be where your serve is. Get to know your neighbors. And that's not go and say, that's not go up to their door and say, hey, I'm Renee, and here's my Bible, and I believe in God, and what's your deal? You know, that's, don't beat them with the Bible the first time you meet them. Just introduce yourself and say, hey, I've lived here for this long. You know, I've seen you over here. You know, I just wanted to come and introduce myself and let you know we're here if you ever need to borrow an egg or some sugar or whatever. Just, you know, here's my, you know, I have a little, these little card things, and I just put my phone number on it and say, if you ever need anything, just let me know. We're here, but I just wanted to know your name and tell you my name. And you just make that introduction. And then when you drive by and you see them out in the yard, you roll your window down and you stop and you say, hey, Sarah, how are you doing? Can I do anything for you? And I'm telling you what, you think it sounds weird, people want to talk. And when people are hurting, they really want to talk. And guess what? Aren't we as Christians supposed to offer them the only hope and rescue? Jesus? That's what we can do. But we've got to open our mouth. So again, that word serve, yes, it might be God's calling you to teach a class. Sing in the choir, sing on the worship team, go on a mission trip. It might be those things, but just being open to hearing where God's calling you to serve. So don't be frightened by that word. But so that's my joy challenge for you. I hope it encourages you. Again, it's just where I find myself, and I'm wearing my grateful necklace every day, and y'all, it don't always match what I'm wearing. But it's okay, because I just feel like it's a reminder for me. And I feel like sometimes that's just what I have to have, is a reminder to choose to be grateful, you know? Clay has seen that fruit in my life, okay? We've had a crazy amount of car repairs lately. Clay says you're either going to have a car note or you're going to have car repairs. And I think the older I get, I'm seeing the truth of that. And it used to be, y'all, because, you know, when you're in ministry and everything, it just feels like we can't afford another car repair. And so when something would happen, I would just implode, you know. Oh, can we do this? And so this was just like last, you know, fall. And I'm teaching this Bible study on joy and gratitude, and my cell phone starts blowing up with my 18-year-old daughter, and she's texting me from her college saying, "My car won't start. I can't get Dad. I know you're teaching your class. What am I supposed to do?" You know, like, so all these texts, and I'm teaching, and I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, Clay's in the office right below me. Like, what's he doing that he can't answer her? And so finally she gets to her dad, and I finish my class, and he calls me, and he says, "Well, we're going to call a tow truck, and because her car won't start, and we're going to have it, you know, taken to this place and all these things." And I'm standing there looking at my gratitude notes. And in my head, it's like this war battle. It's like, how much is a tow truck going to cost? How much is the repair going to cost? We just paid this on Shelby's car. Da 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 da. All of this. And then on the other side of it, it's like, or you can choose this. Be grateful. Be grateful. Be grateful. And I went with grateful. And I said, okay. I said, I'm so thankful that it's sunshiny today and warm. Because what if her car would have broken down and it was cold and rainy? And y'all were out there dealing with this, with that. And I'm thankful that she got in touch with you. And I'm thankful that we've got a little money put away that'll cover that repair. It'll wipe it out, but it'll cover that repair. And Clay said, hello, I was trying to call Renee Cross. And I said, I'm choosing to be grateful. And he said, and you are. Y'all, the peace that comes from making those little bitty choices, but we got to be intentional with it because our flesh wants to war with it and mess with us. Don't let the enemy rob you of your joy and your peace. I don't promise you that it's easy what you're going through or what we're going through. It's not. But we can have peace, and we are in control of how we respond. So find the blessing and the reassurance in that. So that's all I'll say with that. We've got just a few minutes before.